is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 318. It leaves a har-har in my heart. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. How you doing?
Hello.
I've had alcohol.
No, really?
Just a little bit, though.
That seems to be your thing.
I'm over 21, and we record on the download time for Ninja Sister, meaning the non-work days of the day job, and I like to enjoy an adult beverage or two on those days, or maybe eight, but not today. Today, I've only had my one adult beverage, but it is really delicious. It's a new concoction.
And she's prepping for number two.
I might prep for number two, but right. I mean, that just makes gaming all the more enjoyable. Because let me tell you, there's nothing like drunk Mario. Just saying. Except maybe drunk Sonic.
Oh, drunk Sonic.
See? See? But only if you're adult enough to drink responsibly.
Yeah, you bitches. Do the right thing.
Not Spike Lee. Let's do the right thing. Because that you don't really want to be drunk for. Because that's really deep and meaningful. And you should be sober. Because the movie itself is very sobering. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about games and gadgets and anime and fun stuff.
Drinking can be fun if you're drinking the appropriate
can be fun
age,
if you're the you appropriate do it responsibly. Age. You do it responsibly with the right people around you. It can be.
Don't ever drink with people who want to do something horrible to the person.
Yeah, don't
who blacks
drink
out.
With the malicious because bad things will happen and you will end up arrested.
Frozen hot dogs dipped in whipped creams, like all around your face, with pictures will happen.
You don't want that. No one wants that, and no one wants that posted on their Facebook page with them tagged in it. So just remember, with friends, huh? With
friends don't let friends drunkenly Facebook.
Yeah, that's true. That is a true statement. Or drunkenly call their ex.
Ugh.
But enough about that. Let's get to the games and the gadgets and the fun stuff and news. I actually have a thing that's kind of been on my mind, and I've been looking forward to talking to it on the podcast this week. And I was
well,
trying
then
to find
stop
some,
wasting time and let's get
not
to
wasting
it.
Time. I'm setting it up. I'm trying to put create
set
you
up
know,
the dominoes. Set up the dominoes, but don't knock them over yet. We're not ready.
Exactly. I'm trying to create an atmosphere and anticipation.
Ooh, don't do that.
So earlier this week, THQ put out the Humble Bundle and their version of the Humble Bundle, which were a bunch of their games. I think there is like 7 or 8
That's
titles
a lot of games.
In the bundle that people could pay what they wanted to get the bundle, and the money would be donated to help Child's Play and the American Red Cross.
That's nice.
Now, there are a bunch of critics, you know, the professional journalism guys.
Oh,
who,
them.
Who basically cut a lot of shit for THQ doing it and basically selling their software as a way of donating to charity and cast a lot of aspersions on not only THQ, but Steam and the community, which, as Panda, you and I have said on multiple occasions, the gaming community is one of the, I think, largest and most activist communities when it comes to charities and benefiting.
Coming together in the need of something bigger than them.
Yeah, families, children. I think that the gaming community, when you look at all the different charities and just independent developers, producers who donate not only their time but also items to create auctions to benefit Child's Play and groups like One love for Haiti and the tsunami victims. It's not uncommon for the gaming community to come together and do this. So when I looked first at the Humble Bundle, which again, it's pay whatever you want to get the games, and they're available either for Windows download or Steam use. But the games, and there are seven, at minimum you gotta pay a buck. But the games are Company of Heroes and the expansions Opposing Fronts and Tales of Valor, the original Darksiders game, Metro 2033, Red Faction Armageddon, and if you pay over the average price, which right now is sitting at $5.95, you'll also get Saints Row the Third.
Wow.
Okay, so it's not like it's lesser known titles from THQ that didn't do well. But, you know, for basically $6, you can get all seven of those games, including Saints Row the Third, for use, again, either on your Windows PC or through your Steam account, which opens up for many of them the ability to be played on a Mac. So it's both platforms available. In addition, for a bunch of those titles, you also can get their OSTs, their original soundtracks. So the Saints Row soundtrack is available if you buy the Humble Bundle. And again, they're all DRM free. So you can put them on whatever media devices that you have to listen to. And I just thought it was a really good idea. You know, I thought it made a lot of sense. Now, the bundle is being sold right now for the next 10 days. By the time you hear this, it'll be 9 days left that you can buy the bundle. And when you select how much you want to pay for the bundle, you actually get to choose how much and how your donation basically is split up between Child's Play and the American Red Cross. And or how much goes to THQ. So you can choose to donate the entirety of your your purchase price to the American Red Cross, or a portion of it to the Red Cross and Child's Play, or split it up between Child's Play, THQ, and American Red Cross, or just give it all to Child's Play. So I thought it was really, frankly, smart on THQ's end to add themselves as partial beneficiary, because, you know, that's still, while many of these titles are titles that have been out for quite some time, it's still their property. And so to put it up so that you as a user can choose to give them nothing for it and just give it completely away to charity is great. But if you want to pay $15 and float THQ $2 out of that and the rest you give to charity, I think that's fair to give you the option as the purchasee to do that. But a lot of critics have given them a lot of flack of just, why isn't it just the charities available for selection? And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing or a negative thing for THQ to make themselves an option. They're not by default selected when you choose to buy the bundle. You as a user have to opt to give them an amount. So I really don't see why so many critics panned the Humble Bundle and said it wouldn't do well. And currently to date, right now, it's done just about $3.2 million.
And that's not good.
That's great. Critics didn't think that people were going to buy the bundles.
You know, I'm beginning to see a trend here. Like, when there's a...
Panda's playing spot. The trend. What's the trend, Panda?
I actually thought that should be a segment. But anyway, no, I'm beginning to see a trend that when we see something coming up of some type of charitable or some type of Kickstarter that shows some promise, when a big lot of naysayers come out to go, oh no, this isn't going to do well, then it balloons up into a success because it's being fueled by haters.
Well, and
so who's to say that they're not playing this up, and who's to say that, you know, like I said, maybe, like, oh yeah.
Look, I like the haterade being thrown on there because, yes, it does create
more attention.
A gut reaction from, I think, more of the community than would probably jump on it to begin with to prove the haters wrong. You know, so I think it's kind of a, oh, you think that we won't do this kind of thing?
It's like, I dare you. I triple dog dare you, motherfucker.
And I like that that comes out as a positive, but it's still at the end of the day. Ultimately, THQ is trying to do something to help raise funds for two really fantastic organizations.
And if they get money at the end of it, then it's a win-win-win.
Correct. I don't see it as being a negative thing of making yourself available to profit in some way other than just the good grace. I mean, to do it for the good grace alone is fantastic. But I understand that THQ at the end of the day is a business and they're facilitating all of these downloads. They're giving really fantastic titles away because, you know, there are some people who don't want to do anything for the charity and are, you know, paying what they want, which is a dollar, and getting seven really fantastic titles. And you can argue with me that 2033 is not a great title. And I'll say that, yeah, it wasn't burning up the charts or anything like that. But still, a lot of development, a lot of hours went into creating that game. And to basically give THQ, you know, 15 cents for it, I don't think is realistic. So I don't slight them for any of that. And I think, you know, in looking at how well the Humble Bundle has done, I think that it's really fantastic. And so if you have interest in any of the titles that I've talked about, we'll make sure in the podcast notes to include a link to the Humble Bundle page from THQ's site that you can go to and again, purchase the bundle for whatever amount that you feel is fair, and you can divvy up however you want. What's really interesting is that a bunch of people from the Havoc engine company who worked on many of these titles, if not all of them, I think, have donated significant amounts of money individually. They listed some of their notorious purchasees, if you will. And what's really cool is that one of the guys from Havoc paid almost $1,100 for the Humble Bundle.
Wow!
And, yeah, there's one, two, three, I think like four or five of those guys that paid $10.50. Get it?
Hey!
Yeah. Which I thought was cool. And so I probably will buy the bundle myself just because I actually haven't played the original Darksiders game. And it might be interesting to do on the computer, especially because of what I'm going to be talking about a little bit later on in the podcast is my Darksiders 2.
For the computer, because if you got Saints Row for the, you know, Xbox.
I have Saints Row for the Xbox.
Did we ever finish playing that?
We, together, didn't finish playing that. I finished playing that. We didn't finish playing that. You need to play the DLC, which I have. So at any point in time, we could fire it up and finish that off, because you need to do that.
Wait, which downloadable content are you talking
all
about?
All of it.
That's a lot. Okay, fine.
I got the Saints in Space one.
Saints in Space!
I got the
Pigs in a Blanket.
Monster one. I got the thing that Genki gives you the extra. I got the Genki Bowl.
I have the Genki Bowl.
I got like, all of it that they gave out. I would have got the Dominatrix thing if they'd actually released it, but they didn't. So, you know, there's that. So, I am not one of those adding my voice to the haterade on the Humble Bundle. I'm actually saying, get thee to the THQ and make that happen. Because I firmly believe in everything that Child's Play stands for and is doing. And anytime I have a chance to help support the organization, I am always willing to do so. And I think many of you are like me and want to give back to the community whenever possible. So here's another opportunity, just in case you haven't heard about it, to take advantage of that. So like I said, we'll make sure to put in the podcast notes the link to the Humble Bundle, as well as on our Facebook page, so you can get across to the page. And if you'd like, participate and support these two great organizations. So that's the first thing that I have. I know, Panda, you actually played a game.
I've played several games.
Yeah, in your lifetime, but I mean, like, recently, because you kind of went, like, not on the game tip for a while.
Yeah.
And barely on the anime tip.
I've been more on the anime tip than the game tip, but now I'm back on the game tip for the time being.
Oh, yeah, Pandalicious in the hizzy.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that. I'm still fairly in the beginning of
the game. Should be noob.
Dude.
Noob rides with boob.
Dude.
All right, sorry.
Thank you.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to be supportive.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Hitman Absolution.
Oh, you finally got to it. Yay!
Yes, I did. I finally put it in my Xbox and have played, I want to say, about 3 missions now. So I'm still very early in the game.
Like I said, noob.
Are you done?
Maybe. We just don't know. We just don't know.
So first,
I seem to be going through puberty though again.
Yeah, I know. It's really weird.
I'm going all Peter Brady over here, and I'm not exactly sure why.
Regardless.
Mm.
I know that initially Square and the people who developed Hitman Absolution got a little flack for some trailers that came out.
Affleck? Or no. Just, like, regular flack?
Regular flack.
So they got some haterade.
They got some haterade thrown at them because one of the trailers, and I don't know if it was the first one or the second one, but literally you see Agent 47.
The lead character in the game.
Lead character of the Hitman series, essentially, it looks like. Getting ready to, like, do battle. And he's, like, in a hotel room and he's cleaning up and he's putting on a suit. And you see these nuns walking out on this street, and they just look like normal nuns.
And you want none of that?
No, you don't want none of that.
I did a punny. I made a punny.
And literally, at first you see them walking, and they're all, like, in their, like, you know, like, that flying geese V that they do, like, birds when they fly. They, like, are in a V.
Yes.
And all of us, and the head one.
Head nun formation.
And the head nun is a black chick, but that's beside the point. and all of a sudden, they all start disrobing their nunnery habits and begin.
Nunnery habits.
Like I said, disrobing into, like, hot vinyl latex.
Oh, they were not real nuns.
They were not real nuns.
Yep.
They were like nun assassins. They were naughty nuns.
A disguise. No, they weren't naughty nuns.
They were a completely different game. They were in a disguise.
They were in disguise. They were nuns and in disguise.
Well, they were assassins in disguise.
There you
as
go.
Nuns.
As nuns. There you
and
go.
Literally, you just see Agent 47 kill all of them.
Mm.
You know, in that great fashion that he has of stealth, precision, and, you know, skill.
Correct.
And he ends up taking out the black nun last, which, you know, I'm kind of glad she wasn't a dead bro walking right at the start, but I knew she was a dead bro walking by the end of it. And a lot of people were like, oh, see, I can't see Agent 47 killing nuns.
They weren't nuns. They were assassins in nuns' habits.
But still, and they were really scantily clad with, like, sexism a little bit. A little massage, you know,
But they weren't nuns!
But
they weren't really nuns! They were assassins!
But even if that's the case, knowing what we know of the Hitman series,
he would take them out when he knew that they were assassins!
Right! But,
which he knew they were assassins.
But
as soon as the nun habits started flying.
But there would be no point to have them even dress up as nuns because he doesn't go after them like that. Like, he just goes after anybody in, like, regular clothes. So, I mean, they could have just been, like, you know.
I know, but they're going for the dramatic.
And he could have taken them out the way that he does in the game. Like, this was just an onslaught of women, which a lot of feminists and a lot of, you know, people on that.
Got a little
on the defensive side.
Okay, look.
For this trailer.
Ladies, I want to talk to you
for a minute. And the over-glorification and sexification of women.
Ladies, I want to talk to you for a minute, okay? Can you come over here for just like a second?
Girl? I got some real important words to say.
I want
to
kick it with you for just a second, okay?
Right quick.
Ladies, number one, realize that we're talking about a video game, okay? And yes, there is a lot in this industry of misogyny, and there's a there's a lot of objectification of women.
Well, like my sausagery. Am I right? That was bad.
That was bad.
That's sorry.
Okay. And, I mean, you know, this week, a lot of people have been starting the conversation, which I thought was fantastic, on Twitter after the, I believe it was Kotaku article about women in games and how we are treated differently. And so there was a conversation that was started on Twitter using the hashtag of One Reason Why. And it was mostly about how difficult it is for women developers, programmers, engineers,
QA testers
in the industry. And I really thought it was fantastic because a lot of women were giving their one reason why it's difficult for them or difficulty that they've had. And it was very uplifting to see just how honest so many women were and to actually see, because of the conversation, how many women actually work currently in the industry. And yes, there's a long way that they've come and a long way to go. around it. We've talked many a times about it, and I've talked often about how I don't do multiplayer with people that I don't know because of really negative experiences that I've had previously. But I think at some point in time, we also, and ladies, I'm talking to you, also have to own that we're talking about an entertainment platform. We are not talking about real people. We are talking about someone's imaginative recreation of a fantasy environment. And I don't get upset in any way, shape, or form to have a character who is an agent, an assassin. Their job is to take people out, to waste a bunch of pixel characters who are in disguise as another type of character. Now, did THQ specifically set up the game, and by THQ I mean the development house, who did the game, set up the visual so that you would be surprised because you expect a nun to be one thing, and then to see the clothes fly and you get a bunch of sex kitten assassins that show up who still are no match for the lead protagonist, who is portrayed in the entire franchise as a badass murdering machine that is nearly unstoppable.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if I want to really say that he's badass. He's been
Agent 47 is badass.
Yes, but it's not like he walks around going, "Oh yeah, I'm the baddest in the bunch." Like,
that's what makes him badass.
For him, it's his job. He's been trained and conditioned to do.
We have it's an archetype. Okay, you have the over the top badass. Okay, and then you have the quiet, reserved badass.
It's called stoic.
Okay. That exists. So I disagree with you. He's a badass. He's just not an over the top.
Well, I mean, well, granted, let me continue on with the game, because obviously they actually broached this whole character element of him in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get back to it. But anyway, okay. there was some harsh words for this trailer.
I don't have any.
Neither do I, because I saw it and I'm like,
fucking big deal?
He kills.
That's what he do.
Like, you mean if this
it's
was
not
like
he paints portraits of kittens.
Like, I mean, if this was like him being Batman where he has a strict code against killing, then I could see how this would be a problem.
But that's
not
Agent 47.
He gets more money for more heads that roll. So obviously it's
heads
a good payday
roll.
For him.
Heads gonna roll.
Anyway, so this game has a lot to do with that lovely little mechanic that I love to talk about, but I'm not all that great about, stealth.
Yes. Leroy Jenkins. Which is my nickname for you, at least.
Yeah.
Because that's how you approach every game we play together.
Let me just
Grand
run
Theft
in.
Auto. I'm going to shoot this cop in the face. No!
Because only in those games can I actually shoot a cop in the face and possibly get
it's
away with it.
It's one of the reasons
it.
Why I was so surprised that you didn't finish Saints Row. Because Saints Row let you...
I did finish Saints Row the third.
All the DLC, though.
No, I didn't do the DLC.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that you didn't, because of all the games that we played, like, Saints Row is so right up your alley.
It
as far
is up
as
my
just
alley.
Like, whee! I'm gonna do something really stupid and crazy.
I'm gonna run naked down the streets.
With a bazooka.
With a giant male anatomied bat.
I'm gonna run around naked with a big purple dildo killing people in the face.
With my love gun.
With my love stick.
Anyway.
would you call that love stick, or really would that be the real
I would call
and
that
true
the
fuck
stick.
Yeah.
That's a true fuck stick right
I
there.
I think so.
Anyway, so...
we digress.
Yeah, getting back to Hitman Absolution.
Which has nothing to do with a big purple dildo.
No.
Yet.
As far as I know.
It's from THQ, so...
No, it's not.
Oh, no, that's right, it is Square.
Square published it.
I'm sorry, I was still thinking about
it. And it was
THQ.
A different development house. But anyway.
But wouldn't it be better if, like, you could play a mission where you could kill people with a big purple... Like, stealthily kill people with
I
a
like
big
purple. I'd like to know how
dildo.
That... I don't even want to know how, what that
I would like.
I would like
to try and imagine that right now. Go ahead and talk. I'm going to imagine it.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
So anyway, like I said, I'm only three missions in, so I'm still in the infancy of this game. But... We're now looking at 47, you know, doing what he does. He's an assassin, contract to kill. He gets a name, he gets a location, and it's really up to you to get him to where he needs to be to alleviate the target.
To exterminate.
Yeah, to exterminate.
Because alleviate is a different
At the beginning
thing.
Of the game, 47 is given a contract to take out his handler. Or former handler.
Mm.
Because she has gone, Her name's Diana. She has gone and taken something really valuable from the company.
Uh-oh.
And they want it back.
Was it Oreos? Did she take the Oreos?
No. Oh. Eerily enough, Diana took this girl, whose name is Victoria, and she looks to be, like, in her early teenage years, so I want to say maybe 15, 16, like, she's young.
Mm.
And she took her and ran away. So, and Diana was completely aware that the minute that she did this, that she would be blacklisted and probably terminated.
But she still did it anyway.
Yeah.
Because she knew
that they would put their best agent on her tail, which is 47.
Right.
And you go through the whole, you know, tutorial, because this whole first contract is a tutorial, which I still replayed about 4 times because I was still fucking up. So, I mean, obviously, the whole point of this game is to get from point A to point B, to either clean killing or silently killing off people, assuming their disguise, and taking out the target. There are so many different ways to kill in this game. Like, it's not just let me shoot you in the face. Like, they really are looking at your creativity and how well you're able to keep yourself alive and undetected before the death goes down. So, in that case with Diana, you kind of shoot her in, like, the breasticle area.
Aww. And don't shoot the boobies.
She was in the shower, and she was actually kind of sitting in the shower waiting for you to show up. Like, she kind of knew you were coming for her. And she's just like, take the girl. I had to get her away from the doctors. And the whole time that she's talking, 47 is having, like, these weird flashbacks of things going in places on his body. So, he's like, trying to repress those. So, he's trying to figure out what that's all about, because he doesn't rightly remember right. or recall.
Right.
While trying to figure out why this girl is so important to this company. So he decides he's going to go rogue and defect to keep this girl safe because Diana has saved his life.
She's going all Jason Statham on this shit.
More or less.
Okay.
So, and he drops Victoria off at a nun, at a
convent?
Yeah, a convent.
And nunnery? I knew you were going to say nunnery. Yeah. And you're like, that's not the right
that's
word.
That's not the proper
I heard
word.
Your brain go, don't say nunnery.
I know. It's like, oh no, it's like a nursery for nuns.
But anyway,
so he drops Victoria off at a convent. So I think that's where that tie-in with the trailer comes in, because he does interact with nuns, but you don't know that when you first see the trailer because you haven't played the game. Duh. But anyway, like I've said, I've played 3 contracts out, and I've played each of them 4 times each, because I'm really not good. Like, I'm good with sneaking around, and I'm good with garroting people's throats until their heads snap, and I'm good at hiding bodies, but I'm not good at the instinct thing. So there's this system of instinct, because you have such keen instincts, so you can see where people are, you can see their path, like if they're gonna walk by you, so that you can go and hide in like bins and cabins and shit, which isn't all that high technical illusion of stealth, but whatever, no one's opening it, so why, you know, that's not a big deal. But you have to do so many of these things at the same time,
uh-huh,
that it's difficult for those who, oh, I don't know, don't stealth around.
Like my
idea of stealthing around in my house is stomping from my room and then quietly getting to a door. So they already know that I've gone to the door. There's really no
speaking. I mean, the bugle horn that you sound, Vandalicious, kind of gives you away.
I know. I should just, like, wear a neon sign that says, I'm trying to sneak out. But anyway,
it would be much more stealthy than what you currently do.
But, I mean, the game has some really interesting mechanics in terms of these kills. So You have to survey the entire area before you decide on how you're going to take out a target. They really don't want you killing other people either. They just want you killing your target and doing it in the most effective way possible. Like, in one scenario, and I won't talk about them in order, there's a mob boss who sits in the center of this, like, town. Like, this little area of town.
Right.
And he's surrounded by all these dirty cops. And there are all these food stands on the outsides of that. So the point is to get that dude in the dead center. But you can't just walk up to him because you alert everybody. And then everyone shoots at you and you die.
Yeah, you don't want to get shot by everybody.
And I did that. And I walked up to him and tried to shoot him, and that didn't go over very well. Then I decided to be a little bit more stealthy. I killed a cook and took a cook outfit.
Okay.
And So whatever outfit you're in, like I said, I'm in a cook outfit. Cooks can tell there's something off with me unless I'm using instinct, but cops don't. So I thought, oh, I could totally wear this cook outfit and walk straight up to this dude and just, like, stab him with my fillet knife. No. That didn't go over so well.
No, not so much.
Mm. Third time I found out that there was a stash of drugs around that happened to be this drug lord's favorite nose candy. And that, you know, I could contaminate it. So I thought, hey, let me pee on this right fast or whatever. But that's not how that works. So I find this fish that is highly poisonous. And I contaminate his drugs with the toxins from this fish. But then you have to sit and walk around because these NPCs are all walking around. So you can't just contaminate the drugs and just sit there and no one detect that you're doing something odd. You got to be moving around and you have to slowly wait for, you know, his lackey to come get the drugs. And then he shoots up and then he dies. But, like, the poison stuff is actually pretty cool. They do sleeping pills the same kind of way. You know, you end up overdosing people on sleeping pills and they die. And you can shoot them in the face. Or you could, like, throw your fillet knife at their eyeball. That will kill them. And, yeah. But I'm not really good at keeping a low profile. You know, your character is also kind of bald, and there's never any other bald people around. So he kind of already sticks out as is, personally.
Uh-huh.
But it's fun, and it makes me want to do better. I just don't do better, essentially. But I do like all the different options that they leave available. Like, you can take people out with coffee mugs, axes, but, I mean, that's pretty standard. You know, you can throw them into garbage bins and then hang out with them in the garbage bins.
I don't know if that's really what I want to be doing. Like,
well, I mean, if you have to hide really fast, you got to jump into a, you know, you got to jump in there and get in the mire with them. You could do... Like, there's so much going on, and like I said, I'm still very new into it, but I'm not the greatest at it. So I've decided in my own mind that I could never be an effective assassin.
Aww.
And I'm not good at gathering intel either. Apparently there's evidence everywhere, and you're supposed to collect it, and I'm, like, forgetting evidence.
Leroy Jenkins.
Like, I just want to go and I want to kill you in a creative way, but I don't want to be penalized because some dude stared at me for 3 seconds longer than he should have.
Okay, like, so then you shouldn't play Arkham City, and
because I would not do very well.
But you should play Assassins 3. Yeah,
that's what I said. I was talking to somebody. I'm like, I want to be the kind of assassin that I can run on rooftops, hide in hay. Jump, and people would not be like, who's that crazy person jumping from trees and shit? Like, oh, he's not after me, so I'm just gonna go about my business. But I don't want to be that person that, oh man, he's looking at me. You know, like, I can't. There's too much pressure, and I'm gonna fail at my mission, and then I'm not gonna get paid, and then I'm gonna have to grow out my hair because I'm not gonna be able to maintain my bald haircut. That's my thought.
You, as an assassin, should always have a knife. So, worst case scenario, you should be able to maintain your haircut.
Yeah, but me, I don't have a steady hand.
It might be splotchy.
I'd end up, like, cutting chunks of my head off. but the animation style of him in Absolution is flawless. If I had to talk about any mechanics that I don't really care for outside of the fact that I suck at killing...
Yeah, you can't knock a mechanic because you suck at using it.
Okay, well then I'm not going to say that. What I do think, I do feel like the controls are very muddled.
Okay.
Because you will get, like, say you get you choke out a dude, you snap his neck, and you have to dispose of the body, and there's no, like, bin to put the body
in. Right, no barrel.
You can pitch them over. But the button that allows you to pick up items is the same as the ability to push bodies over the rail. So, if you're too close to an object, instead of tossing a body over, you're going to pick up a bust and not throw the body over. And then someone sees you, and it triggers that you've been spotted, and then you're fucked. So, I don't like how they're over-mapping buttons a lot right now.
Do you have the option to remap your buttons? Have you tried remapping your buttons?
No. I should try that.
Before we maybe make
maybe,
it
maybe I will reset it and try this again, but... Initially going in blind, they overmap the buttons, so there are three or four things to each button. So depending on which way you happen to be pointing 47 will determine what your action is. And in a game where you have to be cognizant of everything around you at all times, that is not very conducive to the effective kick-assery that is needed to do your job.
I see.
And that's really the only issue I've really run in terms of mechanics. Like I said, the animation sounds really great. I like the background sounds. The music is fairly nice, and it's not overly dramatized every time you do something awesome. And it's actually really subdued, which actually kind of allows you to really get in the mindset that, you know, you're trying to be silent as fuck.
Right.
So all types of noises, if you hear a noise, it's for a reason, and it's not just, oh, we just have this thing on loop. We have dubstep on loop in the background because... Exactly, no. It's all quiet. Like, you can hear each individual step that your character makes and all the NPCs make. Because they really are trying to hone in the fact that you do not exist. Like, your presence is supposed to be completely unknown. So they really pull that emphasis in, which I do really like. I look forward to completing this game. I am playing it on normal right now because I refuse to be a pussy and play it on easy.
You should not refuse to be a pussy. In terms of actually getting through the game in time for us to record the podcast, taking the easy route doesn't make you a pussy. It just makes you responsible.
No, normal. Normal is my easy.
Evidently, in some games, normal is not your easy.
Well, it is now.
Three missions in Panda.
But anyway, so that's the big nugget of stuff that I've played
you
recently.
You said nugget.
Yeah. But that's what I've nugget. Been playing. And you'll probably see a little bit more from me when I actually get through the whole game and I actually write a decent, full thought out review.
Actually. I just thought you needed another actually.
But that's what I had for you. So what else is going on in Ninjaville over there?
In the land of ninjas, which is typically where I play. Usually only on Saturday and Sunday, though, because the rest of the time I'm doing ninja work. I have been playing more stuff on the Wii U. Like I talked about last week, in order for me to feel like I could really and truly give the Wii U a full review, I needed to play an adult-type game, as I would call it, on the system, as opposed to the family-friendly multiplayer-type things. So I wanted to test out both the online purchase and the eShop feature, as well as play a more mature game, typically the types of games that I would play, but I also wanted to pick up something that I hadn't already played yet. While Zombie U is not on my list of things to play, though it is on yours, going through some of the other titles that were available that I would call adult titles, mature titles, that were available.
I think you could play Zombie U.
That were... the right price, so to speak, and met the criteria, meaning a game that I hadn't already played, because I didn't want to play Assassin's 3 on the Wii when I've already completed the story mode on the Xbox 360. It really wouldn't give me necessarily, I thought, a deeper play through the game. So I opted to pick a title that I actually hadn't played before to go through the process. So I picked Darksiders 2 by THQ, where I hadn't actually completed the first Darksiders game. I'd only played through the demo and the hands-on stuff that we got at E3 a couple of years ago. So I started the process. eShop was really easy to use as far as adding payment methods. Nintendo still sticks only to accepting credit card payments through Visa and MasterCard, which made my American Express very upset.
Oh, no.
But that's okay. I'll spend more money with it someplace else. But very easy to put my card in the system, create a PIN so that only I could use it moving forward for any more purchases from the eStore. You can still use points, which I'll probably end up buying points cards down the road to do these purchases instead of keeping it all on my personal credit card for this system. But the step that hurt was the actual downloading of the application. What's really nice is that as you look at content that's available for immediate download, which many of the titles are available as retail purchase, meaning you would go to a store and buy, or as download, so you can actually download Batman Armored Core Edition. You could download Assassins. In this case, I could download Darksiders 2, which I opted to do. There were some things that were added to the Wii version. Some of the DLC that you were able to purchase after the game launched came bundled with this version. But it was, you know, a 9 gig download. When I looked at the file, I thought it must have been crazy when it said that it was a 9,000 megabyte file. So it was going to take a little while to download. So when you're looking at getting things from the eShop for any of the retail games that are downloads, be prepared. It's a download that you should start and
set. Be prepared!
You should download before you go to your day job, and you should set your Wii to not auto power off, because I have one of the higher bandwidth plans with Verizon Fios, and it still took 3.5 hours for it to download the installer, as it turns out. It wasn't the game, it was the installer of the game. So expanded, it actually took up more space than the 9 gigs. So for anyone that has a basic edition of the Wii U, be prepared that if you're looking to buy any of the AAA titles as a download option, go ahead and get yourself a bigger drive to connect to your Wii U now. But it took 3.5 hours for it to download. It took another, I want to say, average of 15 to 20 minutes for it to unpack the installer and install the game. And then it just took up a tile of space right on the homepage of my Wii U. It was very easy to launch, and the game gave me the option of setting it up to only play it with a gamepad controller, to play it with the Wii U gamepad and the TV, or just on the Wii U gamepad, which I thought was very interesting. I opted first to start with playing it on my TV and using the Wii U gamepad controller as the second contextual menu stuff. And that actually took a little while for me to get used to be honest. All of your equipping of items and magic in the game, if you set up your Wii U to play that way, all happens on the Wii U screen, and there are some skills that you can't map to buttons, so you have to access them through the Wii U screen, which, taking my eye off the screen if I'm playing on the TV to use those items, is very jarring and takes a while to get used to. So I found myself not dying, but not completing and beating. but taking more damage during a fight than I normally would if I had the item select as a, you know, thing off of the pause screen, off of the main TV that I came back to the action afterwards, as opposed to remembering, oh yeah, I need to hit down on the D-pad and look at the Wii controller to select the item. So that was a little bit jarring and took a while to get used to. Now, once I got used to it, I was able to do much more in the game and deal out much more damage. But I have to say that in starting this game, not finishing the first game, I don't feel like I missed anything. The game does a really good job within the first 5 minutes of starting the story mode, catching you up to speed, so that if you didn't play the first game, you know exactly where you left off.
Or you know where the character left off. Not necessarily you, but your character left off in their story arc. You mean, technically.
Well,
actually.
Adjust your glasses best when you say that. So in this game, you play Death, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
So pestilence and famine and war are there too?
No, not exactly. So where you left off the first game is that the four horsemen pretty much laid everything to waste, including their brethren, the Nephilim, which are...
Okay, I need to figure out what the Nephilim actually are, because I've played several games in the last few months where we have dealt with Nephilim, and they've been good.
They're part angel, part devil.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and quite powerful, and as part of keeping the balance in the world, the four horsemen are basically charged with wiping out the Nephilim.
So they're like thing,
they exterminator. They exterminated their own kind.
And the Nephilim are like bugs to them. And they got
They are Nephilim. The horsemen were a Nephilim.
Oh. So they're self-hating and they have to kill themselves.
They weren't self-hating. They just got tired of all of the fighting when fighting happened. They got
mad of all of the drama.
And so they were charged by the council, as they were the most powerful among the Nephilim, to restore balance.
Okay.
And they agreed to do so, and they got a ridiculous boost in their power to do so. The cost of which was they had to restore the balance. And the way that balance was restored was that they had to wipe out the Nephilim, their kin, basically.
Ooh, all right.
And so they were ordered to destroy them and their souls. Death did not want to do that. And so while they did destroy their bodies, Death secretly did not destroy the souls, but actually captured them all and embedded them in an amulet, which he gave to the Crow Father.
Okay.
Also known as the Keeper of Secrets.
The Gatekeeper and the Keymaster.
Okay.
Fused
together. Decided to take it a step further.
Oh no.
In that he was tired of all battles, and so humanity was wiped out.
Okay.
The council blamed war.
The evil council?
No, not the evil council. The council blamed war for wiping out humanity, which was an abomination upon the land. And so war was imprisoned at the feet of the council and is to stand trial. Death believes his brother to be innocent and wants to save him. And so that's where Darksiders 2 picks up, is that Death has agreed to find a way to restore humanity, and if he is able to do so, to free his brother and basically get him acquitted of doing these crimes against humanity, which he believes his brother has not done. So that's where the game starts.
All right. Wow. So they definitely fill you in on everything.
Everything, right off the bat. But in a way that makes sense, you don't feel like you're going through a massive history lesson. This whole thing is basically gone through in about 3.5 minutes. But you don't feel like, oh, if I blink, I miss something. The realms are gorgeous, and just kind of comparing to some of the playthrough videos for the other systems that I've seen on Darksiders to what I've played hands-on with on the Wii, it looks equally as good on the Wii U as its Xbox 360 and PS3 counterparts. So that's really cool. The addition of the gameplay items that are on the second screen are cool, but if you're playing with just a regular gamepad, you won't feel like you're missing anything. So they're a nice addition, but they're not a have-to-have on the gamepad in order to make the experience. It's still a strong experience otherwise. You have full control over the camera, which is cool, with the exception of some FMVs where the camera stays focused on where you need to go. One thing I did find helpful, and I wish that more games did this, was if you are presented a puzzle, because just like every dungeon crawler, you have puzzles that you have to solve in order to get out of one room to move into the next, the main core structure of the game. If you are roaming around a puzzle for a long period of time because it's taking you a while to figure out what you need to do next, you will actually be presented on screen with a tooltip that has a visual with it to kind of guide you on what you need to do. So as an example, in one of the dungeons I was in, I had a boulder that I needed to roll into a cutout in the floor in order to open a panel, which freed another boulder that I needed to roll into another part of the floor. Once I did this and freed the one boulder and moved the other one into place, I realized that there was yet still a third hole. And I couldn't find a third boulder. I went from two other rooms. I used the built-in guide, which is a crow named Dust that you can use that will point you in the right direction. And Dust didn't leave the room, so I knew I didn't need to leave the room, but I still couldn't figure out what I needed to do. And after about a minute, a tooltip popped up. I was like, did you know that you can use the sticky bomb thing to unlodge an item?
Unstick things?
And I was like, no.
By explosions?
But not only that, it showed me the boulder Because once the boulder was in the ground, I couldn't walk up to it and move it. So I was sure that it wasn't as simple as just taking one of the boulders that I had freed and moved over to the new hole. When in fact it was. I needed to take the sticky bomb, blow it out of the hole so I could move it to the other hole. So I really appreciated that. And as you go through other dungeons, if you get stuck, there are built-in tutorials with a visual to kind of guide you into what you need to do next. Which I thought was a really great addition to the game because it keeps you moving. You don't have the frustration of, I can't figure this out, and I feel so dumb because I should be able to figure out how to get out of this room. That doesn't happen in the game, so that's really cool. I like a lot of the voice work that's been done in the game. I'm very early on into it right now, so I will have a more in-depth look at it. I'm just now fixing the Forge of Makers, who are the people who actually forged and created a lot of the worlds that exist in the universe and will play a major part, I'm sure, in my fixing of the world and the universe and all that kind of stuff. But I really just find that as I've played right now, if I was to stop right this moment and someone was to hand me an Xbox 360 copy of the game, at this moment, I probably would stop and play it on my Xbox 360. Just to get to the same point and find out really and truly if the experience is any different or enhanced
playing because of it on the Wii U.
Yeah, because I don't feel that it's that much more enhanced. Now, in getting it on the Wii U, a bunch of the DLC packs that were available on the other platforms came bundled in this game. So I had gifts of weapons that I could use when I got to level 5.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to getting to level 5 and being able to equip those badass weapons, which is not necessarily something that you get unless you get the DLC packs on the other platforms. So I thought that was a nice little addition. And gifts and side quests are available throughout the game. It is very, I would say, open sandbox in that you do have a specific path that you need to travel in order to continue the story along, but there are all kinds of side quests and foes that you can fight in the lands as you traverse different pieces of the map. You're not held to just one piece of the map. You can go to any piece of the map at any point in time, whether you ride your horse Despair or fast travel. If you want to focus on building up your skill and your skill sets and your points and earn money, you can do that. And there's no time limit or force limit in an area, which is really nice because I'll probably spend a lot of my time doing that. But I have to say, it's a solid gameplay experience. And with the exception of a couple of little minor things about the camera at times, because I find that it just moves a little too fast and I get a little dizzy if I had an ability to toggle that a little bit better, which I haven't explored all the menus yet, so I might, that it would probably be a stronger game for me. But I would say right now it is totally worth, if you have a Wii U and you haven't played Darksiders before, I would say you pick it up for your Wii U as opposed to picking it up for any other system that you have in your house, because it definitely shows off what the Wii can do. I've had very minimal load times on the game, which load times are one of my pet peeves, especially about AAA titles, but they're very minuscule, almost so much that I can't actually read the in-between loads tips because it loads so fast that I don't actually get to see all of the text render on the screen. The skill point tree that's in the game is no different than any skill point tree that you've used before. As you build up your abilities, you earn skill points. You can then use those skill points to unlock additional skills, either on your melee side or your dark magic side. I'm kind of focused right now on my combat side, my melee side, because I use that much more than I use dark magic in the game. I'm sure that I would feel much more balanced as a character if I use dark magic more, but it takes some time for me to execute those moves, and so I ain't got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
One resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't my life. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Jesus, 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 it's a fire. Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Get to the world tree so I can restore humanity.
Restore the balance of life!
Because I feel kind of bad.
Kind of feel like a douche?
I kind of feel like a douche. Because my brother and, like, his girl and, like, one of our friends...
See, it's always because of a girl... No, I'm just kidding.
Kind of doomed humanity and, like, all of the Nephilim and...
But see, if it wasn't for them fucking up, we wouldn't have an awesome game like Cards Against Humanity.
Well, I don't really think that you can... attribute a game like Cards Against Humanity to the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, but...
Or can you?
I mean, if you could...
would make you kind of a genius, right?
Like you would probably win the black card for that combination, I'm not gonna lie.
What?
In that...
Challenge accepted.
In that, you know...
Challenge accepted!
You're crazy. But I will say that, I am enjoying the game. I will finish it on my Wii U. And I do feel like it has really shown me that the Wii U has potential when it comes to mature titles. So I'm one step closer to getting Tomb Raider on the Wii U when it releases as opposed to on the Xbox 360. Which is huge for
that
me.
That is very huge for you.
So, you know, Nintendo, you just might keep that HDMI port away from my PS3 for a little while longer.
A little while.
Yeah. I mean, because God of War Ascension is coming in March, so... It's like winter is coming, Kratos is coming.
Christmas is coming. Have you seen... There's a picture on Facebook of the guy from Game of Thrones, and he's on the throne, but he's surrounded by, like, Christmas lights and Christmas cheer, and he's like, Christmas is coming.
Yeah, I don't really, watch Game of Thrones or anything like that. But what I will say is a lot of the way that death moves in this game reminds me very much of Kratos.
Kratos, yeah. Who made that distinction?
Well, but, you know, when you said it, I thought she's right. You know, with the double scythe, and I was surprised I didn't put my finger on it earlier than when you came down because I was like, oh, look, he's using two scythes. That's kind of cool, like nunchaku. That's kind of cool. I like that. But I didn't make the connection until you said it, and then I thought about, you know, the combo moves that I have and the skill set tree and how things change. I went, you know, it's very much like God of War, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
So
I wasn't stating it to be a negative. I was stating
No. I was just...
As an observation.
Throwing out my observation on top of that.
So. Observations? I wasn't observing, but, you know.
But you were observing.
I wasn't casting observations, but observations.
So there's that. And that's really what I've been playing mostly this week. I have a bunch of other things that I'm going to be kind of monkeying around with. There are a couple more. There are a couple more streaming services that have popped up that I am experimenting with this week, and I'll probably be talking about them later on in the week. Funimation now has a streaming service that you can access both on the desktop and through Android devices and Apple devices. So I'm going to be playing with that this week.
Devices.
And so we may have some additional things to pimp in our gift guide. Yes, our holiday gift guide.
Holiday is upon us.
Just in case you haven't picked it up yet, you really should. You can bounce over to our page, egmnow.com, and check it out. I posted it early this week. The great thing about the PDF is we've got links to almost everything that we talk about in the guide. So if... a person that you need to buy for fits one of our Who This Is Perfect For criteria, there's a link right there for you to go to an e-shop on the web. You know, the interwebs where you go for stuffs.
Shop online. It's easier than going to a store.
And purchase said item. Select gift wrap so that way you don't have to wrap it yourself.
I love wrapping presents.
Well, good. You can wrap all my presents.
Yay!
Look, yes. I gave you happy.
Yay!
So make sure that you download the PDF, that you run through it. There's gadget recommendations in there, music, movie recommendations, game recommendations, anime recommendations for all the different types of nerds.
Infusions of all of them.
For all the different types of nerds and geeks in your life that deserve something that doesn't suck this holiday season from you.
I mean, unless they ask for a vacuum cleaner, because then they want something that sucks.
And we can recommend the perfect Dyson for that.
Yeah, I was totally just going to say, Dyson. Done. Show them that you love them so much that you'll help them clean their apartment with a Dyson vacuum cleaner.
With a $700 vacuum cleaner that's cool as hell.
And actually does the job.
And it does the job really well.
Very well. We would know. We have Dysons up in this bitch.
No, you have a Dyson. I don't have a Dyson.
Yeah,
I don't got it like that.
We have a Dyson.
You have a Dyson.
I have a Dyson.
I do not have a Dyson. I have a little handy vac. But one day I will
shark
have
Shark vac! Which doesn't suck up sharks.
No, it does not. It does not. It was poorly advertised for what it does.
Give me the bee repellent. No, not the letter B repellent.
Wait, the Bieber repellent? They have a thing?
Yeah, it's called My Fist to His Face Style.
This is My Fist to Your Face Style.
Mm. I'm bleeding more, which makes me the victor.
Oh, Kung Pao.
I wish that were true.
It didn't make the gift guide list this
year.
No,
but it leaves a har-har in my heart. See what I did there?
Oh my god, I do see what you did there.
Did you see that? That was classic. I know, like Lassie. That's how classic that shit was.
Parts of that. What?
I want all parts of that.
No, we don't want anything to do with
all
that,
of the
really.
Parts?
None
yes.
of the parts. None of the parts.
All of the parts.
You gotta check out the stuff that we write on the website, which you can find, like I said, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Or you can visit us on our OG website. That's where you'll find the podcast and a couple of other nuggets of awesomeness at electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That is esh.co. The short address about to be the long one. Check out any articles that have been written within the week. All questions and comments should go to our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/Land of Ash.
Also, not that you don't know it, we have this podcast.
That's right. We put out brand new episodes of our podcast on Monday that you can find in the iTunes podcast application, which you can download on your iOS device, or visit the iTunes Music Store or the Microsoft Store and search for Electric Sisterhood and hit the beautiful little subscribe button to ensure that you get our brand new podcast episodes the moment we put them out on the web for enjoyment. But if you're not living La Vida I, or you don't want to use the Microsoft Store on your Windows device, you can always
plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for everybody else who happens to hang out with us.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. We started it, but we do not necessarily complete it. We put out brand new episodes of our podcast, spanking new, hot, and fresh, on Monday mornings. But you can follow that up on Tuesday with the Testosterone to Our Estrogen, the Boston Bass Brigade, which is co-hosted by our homeboy King Baby Duck. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, you got your gadget, geek, nerd stuff taken care of at Geek Aggro, hosted by Deuces Wild. For the rest of your week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, there's all the stuff we write about on our respective websites, which you can check out. You can also hit us up on our EGM Now page. You can ask us questions and suggest stuff for us to check out that you'd like to hear our opinion on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Esh, to follow up and find out when we're putting out new articles, when we're attending events and things like that. First and foremost, hit up Facebook, because that's probably where we're going to put the pictures up first, because pictures, they say more than 1,000 words. But you can also check us out on Twitter for the news of things that are going on in the Land of Esh. You want to follow at ESH News to find all the individuals who make up the Land of Esh. And I guarantee you, you follow all of those people, you will have hearty har-hars in your Twitter streams on the regular. Just go to my page, twitter.com/NinjaSista, and check out the Land of Esh list. Like I said, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we are of the interwebbins for you. because we love you so much, so deeply. Panda, what shit are you digging this week?
I'm digging Mega Ran this week and every week ever.
Pandering.
That's what I'm good at.
I made a funny.
Any and all things panda, I'm good at it. But besides that, what are you digging this week?
I'm digging Cheez-Its. I could go and elaborate, but I don't feel like I need to. All I need to say is Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We will see you next week, guys.
Happy Hanukkah.
Don't forget to get the gift guide.